symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome to ARN, the bonus edition right here for our members on ad-free shows. That's right. Nobody else is getting this. This is Paul Bromwell, and I'm here with the enforcer, the Hall of Famer, my friend, ARN Anderson. ARN, how are you?
So these folks are commercial free, huh?
We don't have to talk about dick pills. We don't have to talk about greens, athletic.
You can't say dick.
We can. We're behind the paywall. We can say it all now.
Oh, no.
He's already nervous. He's like, oh, shit, what are we doing? Oh, man, I don't have to worry about YouTube crappy comments and all that good stuff. This is ad-free, man. This is my family. This is our group. This is who we love.
This is HBO, right?
This is HBO. This ain't Channel 2, 6, ABC, and all that shit. We're on HBO now.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so ARN, listen, we just did Peek Behind the Curtain. We just recorded two episodes for your show. So we're going back to back to back here. And the last show we recorded was Ask ARN Anything. And I think a lot of our ad-free show members will see some of their questions pop up on that episode. But there were still more questions we didn't get to. So we decided, hey, let's give it to our ad-free show members exclusively as a bonus show. So you guys are going to need to hear some questions, some from ad-free, some from Twitter. But, man, they're going to have to pay if they want to hear this stuff, okay? They're going to have to become a member if they want to hear the gold from the lips of ARN Anderson. So, ARN, are you ready to do Ask ARN Continued, the bonus edition, exclusively here on ad-free shows?
Well, hell yes.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's kick it off. And we're going to start with Jason Gunning. And he wants to know, ARN, in your backstage roles in WCW, WWE, AEW, who were the guys who asked the most questions and seemed to have the greatest desire to learn from your expertise? Who were the sponges for ARN Anderson?
Wow. Randy Orton was very receptive. Cena was, up to a point. Dave Bautista, very receptive.
All stars.
Yeah. Roman Reigns, house shows. He had some matches with Braun Strowman that were just spectacular. He made Braun Strowman a giant. Really enjoyed working with him on that stuff. Dolph Ziggler had great ideas, listened. Bobby Roode, great mind for the business. Yeah. That's some of those guys.
Since you've been in AEW, I know you work primarily with Brock, but what about, I know you dealt with Cody quite a bit. Was he a guy that relied on you heavily?
Yeah. He was very, very smart guy. He wanted to know my opinion. I told him the truth as I saw it every time, and there were times to where he looked at me like, did you just say that? If you don't believe it, go to the Glock, the now infamous Glock promo, and when I say spill the guy's brains all over the concrete, look at the look on his face. That was legitimate.
Yeah, priceless.
You know, he didn't see that coming, and he didn't know where that was going to go when we went backstage. But he listened, and he always wanted to know my opinion. And Dustin, same thing. And those guys were in control most of their own character and destiny anyway. I might just have an idea or two that maybe they hadn't thought of.
So when you lifted up that Waffle House menu and were whispering to Cody, not, you know, some of it was real advice.
Yeah, it was. All of it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was something, you know, hey, even if it was to say, hey, you're doing good, you're about halfway through, you might be getting ready for this, or watch out for that, or...
All right, there you go. All right.
legitimate.
Sometimes
stuff.
You think as a fan, oh, you know, it's just part of the deal there. But you were really just kind of trying to throw him some knowledge, some ideas.
Well, and you know, that's something that you see all the time on football. We just thought we would steal it. And,
yeah, the Andy Reid gimmick there.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Why not?
Eddie Prather's up next, and he wants to know, Arn, do you have any good stories about your time being roommates with Scott Armstrong? Scott told us, Top Guys, when he did a Zoom with us a couple months ago, about the time that you took him down in the front yard of the Armstrong's home. That's right, he did. I hosted that Zoom. Tell us about that, Arn.
Oh, my God, he would kill me.
Tell us about that.
Now, those Armstrongs, starting with Bob down to Stevie and everything in the middle. Brian, Brad, Scott, huge tempers, short fuse. So I want to say we went over and we were eating. God, I think it was like Easter dinner.
Scott loves food, by the way. I remember from that Zoom.
He likes
Yeah.
And his mom was a Georgia girl. She could cook too, buddy. Miss Gail, God almighty. So it was like an important meal. You know what I mean? We were on our best behavior. She had us over. And, you know, when you're living like Scott and I were, two bachelors at the time, and you know, you eat like shit. You don't, you know what I mean? You don't want to go shop. You don't want to cook healthy, or you don't make casseroles and shit. You're making turkey sandwiches and grilling chicken and all that stuff that gets old pretty quick.
Absolutely.
So this was one of those main event meals, and we overate. So anyway, it's time to, you know, I think that was like a, might have been an Easter Sunday even. So we're getting ready to go back over to our crib, which was Scott's condo, and lay down. He goes out the door ahead of me, you know, thank you, Mrs. James. You know, I really appreciate the meal. Okay, Mom, that was great. Well, see you later. Da-da-da-da. And we just, I don't know what inspired me, but as soon as our feet hit the grass, I just dipped in behind him, took him down.
You were just feeling ornery that day.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, I don't know why I decided to do that. I really don't. Especially since I had a full belly. But I took him down, and man, he flipped his glasses off. You fat bastard. And I jumped up off of him, and now I'm running around the car. He's running around the car. We're circling. Once you get on the other side, if a guy's on the other side of the car, he can never catch up to you. He's sliding across the back. He's sliding across the hood. And this must have went on for like 3 minutes. And he's cussing, you took me down in front of my mother, you fat bastard. Da, da, da. And he's cussing me, and he is purple in the face. His glasses are laying out in the yard. Finally, he blew up. I said, man, I didn't mean nothing by it. Da, 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 da. And I'm doing the job big time, trying to talk him down. Finally, he blew up, and I blew up. Because we had already overate, and we got in the car, and man, we went home, and I'm watching him. The only reason I think he didn't punch me is because I was driving.
Yeah.
You know, I could
see.
I'm watching, I'm looking at the corner of my eye like he's fixing to knock the shit out of me, because he was embarrassed. He idolized his mother and his father. You know, so.
You were waiting for that receipt, is what you were waiting for.
Yeah, if he'd have caught me, he'd have beat me up. That's for sure. And it took a few days for him to forgive me over that one.
He is a biscuit lover and told us that one of his secrets to his biscuit recipe is Sprite, the soda Sprite.
So he makes homemade biscuits.
Yes, he does. So next time you see Scotty, you may want to try to say, hey, let's do some. But I hear they're phenomenal. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Okay. So it might be time to reconnect with your boy Scott Armstrong, at least over some biscuits. All right, we move on. WWE Master. Hey, Eddie, thanks for the call back there. I'm glad you brought that up. WWE Master 2018 asked the following. What was your reaction or thoughts on the shocking return of Bray Wyatt at the end of Extreme Rules 2022? You may not have seen it, Arn. I don't know how much you're in tune with the product now, but Bray came back It was online everywhere. He's back with WWE. I mean, he's a larger than life character for them, in the vein of The Undertaker, but kind of the evolution of a big time character now here in 2022. What's your just thoughts on Bray going back to WWE?
Well, did he come back as Bray Wyatt or come back as the Monster, or which was it?
So he's come back, and they're doing, it's like this, they've been doing this whole White Rabbit deal. They brought this guy in from Marvel to, he's kind of part of the creative team. I don't know his official title. And he's kind of been writing the story arc for this whole Bray Wyatt return. And it involves, you know, the White Rabbit, and he's carrying the lantern, and it's paying homage to his past characters with the, like, a rundown playhouse. And so, you know, he's going to be some kind of character. It's just not going to be, hey, I'm Bray Wyatt, how are you today? He's going to be a character. It's going to be over the top. They brought back a lot of the puppets or that were in his playhouse or whatever they are. But there's more to come. This is still fresh, and we'll see. But to me, he's like a guy, he's a wrestler that I feel like works, he just works in WWE because of how they are so, can be very character driven.
You're 100% right. He belongs there.
Yeah.
They will do the very best with that character than can be done in the business. I have no doubt. There'll be enough time, you know, presented for it, and it won't get rushed. They'll milk it week after week. You'll just get a sliver of it, and then you'll always be wanting more instead of less, right?
Yep.
So I haven't seen it yet. I know that he had that original character down so much, and that all came from him.
They said that Triple H interviewed with Ariel Helwani. He was talking about how Bray just needs some guardrails because he's so creative. He's mm-hmm. so creative that really what he just needs is to kind of have those guardrails to keep him going, you know, north
and
south.
Too far off the rails, yeah.
Yeah. But did you get to work at all with Bray in your time there?
Okay. Yes, I did. You know, and a lot of mistakes were made with him. I mean, he never won a match on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
There was like a string of 8 pay-per-views that he never won. And you can't do that because now the audience, no matter how much they enjoy you on Raw or SmackDown during the week and building up the months to a big pay-per-view, if you never win the big one, they know that. That becomes part of the way they view you. Well, he's a great character, and he's a good upper-middle guy, but he's never going to be a top guy because he doesn't win the big match. And that's a mistake with him.
I'm with you. We'll keep moving on. Ted Dahlman's up next. He wants to know, why no tag titles for Arn and Barry Windham? On paper, the 1990 Horsemen with Rick, Arn, Barry, and Sid should have been unstoppable, but in actuality, they didn't win all that much. So, Arn, what say you? No tag titles for you and Barry.
I would assume it's because they were on the Steiners.
So they just chose to go with a team like the Steiners or someone else and have them run with the belts at that point.
Yeah, they were building their brand, WCW, around babyfaces and superhuman babyfaces, which would be Luger and Sting and the Steiners. And those guys.
Gotcha.
That was the nucleus.
Arn, we got a question from Zeus, and I'm hoping it rings a bell for you.
Zeus. Not that one.
Yeah. Not the one from the Big Blue Cage.
The one-eyed one?
Don't. Yeah, nah, not that one. But he said, why did Arn stop doing the off-the-turnbuckle spine buster in the early 90s?
Because I didn't want it to be regular. Wanted it to be, well, he truly can catch you out of anywhere.
Okay.
Wanted it to be special. And you, if you do that too many times, then it's not special. It's just part of your routine.
Gotcha. Okay. So there you go, Zeus. Because it's Halloween, Chico Maivia wants to know if you've had any weird, spooky, or supernatural encounters on the road. Ooh.
I have some in my house here.
Really? Tell me more.
Well, now, I have a 70% hearing in one, my right ear, and 30% is gone forever. You'd be surprised that when you take 30% of your hearing, what weird creaks and sounds, and I guess people talk about, you know, ringing of the ears and stuff. I just thought that was like a cliche or something. But you can have, when you lose hearing in your ear, you can hear all kind of weird stuff. More importantly than that, we have lamps that just cut on and off on their own.
That's creepy.
Well, it's damn creepy because Brock didn't believe me till like 2 weeks ago, and it happened with him looking right at it, just happened to be looking, and he went, looked at me and went, "Dad, I thought you were kidding." And it kind of weirded him out. And I've seen it a few times, and it weirded me out. And I hear people walking around and coming up and down the steps that aren't there. So I'm thinking, we're going to have to get one of them Ghostbuster gimmicks to come in the house and walk around with the smoking thing and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
Well, as it turned out, before this goes too much into science fiction, I guess there's a timer you can put on the lamps to where they come on and off, which his mother,
Aaron, had it all set up and didn't tell you.
Yeah, she didn't tell me, but she's just enjoying me talking about it.
I love it.
Getting weirded out. She's probably sitting over there on her iPad laughing her ass off. She finally gave it up because now he's going, "Hey, Mom, this is bullshit. We do have ghosts."
So, in this same vein, speaking of Halloween and creepy and things, have you ever dressed up for Halloween, Arn? Going to a Halloween party, you know, anything like that? Do you remember? Like an 80s party or anything?
No. Not since I was
You and
kid.
Aaron never did anything?
No. Nah.
I mean, yeah, that's right. You were too busy running around WWE halls and shit.
I was impersonating a wrestler for decades. Same costume.
You had tights and a satin jacket on and boots.
That's it.
I love it. How about the movies? Did you ever get in any Halloween movies? Like, are you a fan of like the Mike Myers movies?
Or? Yes, of course. We were just talking about that the other day. There's one out right now, right?
Yeah. The final of the trilogy. My favorites were the two originals from 77 or whatever it was, 78, and then the late one in the early 80s, the second one, where she's in the hospital, Jamie Lee Curtis. I just watched those the other night because it helps get me in the spirit of things.
Those are Halloween movies that you can enjoy because you know they are what they are. A couple of movies, The Omen.
I've never watched that.
Brother, watch the original one in a quiet room where you hear everything. It messed with me. And The Exorcist completely flipped me out.
Really? Okay.
So I was 15 at the time. I'm out in Washington State visiting my aunt. And my cousin, who was probably, I was 15, he was probably 19. He was in the service, so we went out there to spend his month leave with his parents in Tacoma, Washington. We went to it was when The Exorcist came out. And people were boycotting it and all kind of stuff, you know what I mean? It was a major deal. Don't go see this. It's
satanic.
Way out of bounds. It's way over the line. So we go in this old theater downtown Seattle it's got the big, huge curtains and like it's like a blood red. And it's just a real creepy theater. It's just me and him in there. And man, we watch this movie and we go home. Now I am flipped. I went in because his parents, where we were staying with, they were military. He was military to his dad. Strict thing. Once after dinner was open, you don't go in the kitchen. There's no eating. You don't get up during the night and watch TV and all that. Once it's lights out, that's it. So now I'm in there on the couch and I'm going, I can't cut the TV on. I can't do anything. Get my mind off this. So I went in the washer and dryer room, cut the light on, shut the door, and sat on the dryer all night.
Oh, my God. It you were 15?
Flipped me, yes. You seen The Exorcist?
No. I've never seen The Exorcist all the way to the original.
You want to put a new slant on what you consider fear and scary and satanic and God and the devil and...
Yeah, see, I know that might freak people, you know, people won't believe that, but when that was big back in the day, you know, I'm obviously, you know, I'm younger, younger than you are, and that's not being rude or anything. It just is a different generation. But when I was a kid growing up, I was also in a very strict home, and they were very strict about what they would let me watch. As
they wouldn't have allowed you to see.
So I wasn't allowed. That's right. And I just haven't gotten back around to seeing it. But the weirdest thing is, though, Arne, I could watch Halloween and Halloween 2 on like regular TV. Like if it was on PHL 17, which is a local channel, I could watch those movies. But they never let me watch that one.
Well, I think my issue is every time I go back and picture it, I picture it through the 15-year-old mind.
Okay, I'm sure.
I mean, there's a few spots in there that...
Sounds like it was traumatic for you at the time.
That right now would flip me.
Wow. Okay.
It's just... It's not like...
So we shouldn't do that as a watch-along then?
No.
Okay, all right.
It reels you in to the point of... I mean, it's like God and the devil.
Oh yeah,
it's way past just a mass standard murderer with a rubber mask on.
Yeah, right. I got you. All right. Well, that's interesting. What about candy corn? You a fan of candy corn? Since we're talking all things Halloween,
I liked it when I was a kid a little bit.
Yeah,
not so much.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's a traditional candy Halloween. Give me the mini candy bars and, give me the fruit, the Skittles and the Reese cups, all that stuff. So,
I want you to know the power of this podcast. Ever since I mentioned the king-size Hershey's with almonds.
Oh, yes.
I've been given three different times. People have been kind and came up and said, listen to the podcast. Got a gift for you.
Oh. That is amazing. People are awesome.
Our fans are such great folks.
There are a few kind of negative or haters out there, but for the most part, when you meet these folks, they are amazing, amazing people. Let's keep going. Chuck P's up next. He writes, what did you, Rick, and Ole say to each other after you got back to the locker room in the Omni following the cage match where you broke Dusty's leg? Man, that was just, again, an iconic moment in my childhood watching that Omni and how the fans were going insane, wouldn't even let you out of the cage for a while. Do you remember the conversation you guys had when you got back there?
Yeah, it scared me to death. I had never been involved in anything like that. You know, and Ole had that look. He wasn't selling it, but he had that look like we just dodged a bullet.
Sure.
You know, I'm bleeding like hell. Somebody hit me in the head with, I think, threw a battery or something and hit me in the head. But it took us 15 minutes to get back, man. I had never been in a riot. I mean, we fought. This is from the moment we finally got out of the cage and got on our feet between there and the locker room. We had some kind of physical contact with probably 100 people that were either pushing from the back and trying to get to the front to attack us or something. But it took us 15 minutes to get to the locker room.
Nobody was handing you Hershey bars with almonds that night, is what you're trying to say.
10 Atlanta cops with their nightsticks saved their life. They saved their life.
I bet they did. Unreal. Jason says he wants you to tell us a fun or interesting story from your time as a producer for WWE. Any fun or interesting stories, maybe one that you can share from your time as a producer there?
If you want the truth... I hated that job.
Yeah, tell us the truth. We're behind the paywall.
Hated it. I hated being in charge of matches that I had no power, you know, or authority.
Yeah, you said that and the guys will hear this in a later recording, but you said you got to work with these matches, but you had no power or authority, and I didn't know what you meant by that. So when you say you had no power or authority, as far as in what way?
So I was responsible for the end result.
Okay.
If the story that was told or the physicality was not good, finish wasn't good, whatever, Vince chewed my ass out. Okay?
Okay.
But the problem with that is that's okay if you're going to give me full reign and let me do what I want to, not what's written, and try to...
Oh, the creative group.
Take the creative and put it into match terms.
I got you.
And make it make sense. It's not fair to have all the responsibility for a segment and no authority to do what you know is right.
Okay.
To having to do what they want you to do.
Understood.
So I did not enjoy that job. I really didn't enjoy it that much with WCW because, I mean, you get to the arena and you got two guys that really don't want to put each other over. They don't want to do that. Neither one wants to do a job. I'm on the road just lining to show up. That's supposed to be all I'm doing.
Come on, guys. Just meet me halfway here.
Carrying the word, hey, they'd like so-and-so to go over, da-da-da-da. When you don't have the authority to actually, when they go, I'm not feeling that. Now, to go and have to go, well, what do you think we should do? Versus, no, I think I'm feeling it, and this is what we need to do.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And you didn't have that authority.
No.
That's tough.
It's a straw boss position, and you're a scapegoat for something they don't like. It's automatically, boom, Jesus. It's automatically your fault.
I got you. Okay. So there you go. I love the brutal honesty there. It sounds like a no-win position because, like you said, the guys can tell you no and you have to go with it and figure it out. But at the end of the day, you're held accountable to it. So that's
and you sucks. You use their ideas and it sucks and you get the blame for it.
Right. Michael Goad is up next. He wants to know if you recall a TV taping. Now, this is a long time ago, in 1990, at the Cobb County Civic Center, where you wrestled the Dragon Master and the lights went out during the match. You guys finished the match thanks to the ambient lighting because the front of the building was made entirely out of glass, and you won the match with the move you invented, the Spine Buster. So, Arn, this is a lot of years ago, but do you remember the lights going out that night when you wrestled the Dragon Master?
Cobb County Civic Center?
That's right.
That's in Marietta. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
Okay, yeah, that's 1990.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So there you go.
I don't, sorry. Sorry
all
about
good. It. All good. Well, that's, like I said, long time ago. And but, man, there you go. You still won the match, still throwing him here's down with the Spine Buster.
Here's the story of my life, though. The only win I ever get, nobody saw it.
Oh, that's good. Dangerous Rhythm with DJ Vil Vodka has a question, and he says, Athens, Georgia was a great city for music in the 80s, but was it a good wrestling town? Did you ever wrestle in Athens?
Yep. Did 30 minutes with Buzz Sawyer in a bar fight. That was a tough match. I don't remember us running there very much because it did not draw very well.
There you go.
It really didn't. I think I was there one time.
So there you go. He wrestled.
Great football city.
Right. Yeah.
It's a great football town.
Yeah.
Not wrestling.
All right. R. Seliger says, wants to know, what was the best territory for authenticity? So let's start there, because then he asked, did you ever deal with any British wrestler? And if so, did the styles clash? But let's start with his first question. What was the best territory for authenticity?
Probably Crockett's, because we along with that crew, were the best in the business at one time. We assembled the best crew, and I mean, you run it top to bottom on the, you know, on who was on the crew, and guys were just great workers.
The promos mixed with like some of the backstage or outdoor violence, whether it was the beatdown of Dusty in the parking lot, and then the promos, all of that made it feel authentic.
Yes.
You know?
Yep, absolutely. And when we did an angle, we did it right, and it was creative, and
I loved it.
Yeah.
He said, did you ever deal with any British wrestler? And if so, did the styles clash?
I love that style. I love the European style, those uppercuts and the chain wrestling, the stuff, you know, that you saw, you know, Stephen Regal do.
Yeah, William Regal.
You know,
yeah.
Lord William Regal. You know, I love that stuff. And I got to work some with Regal, and it was like he was having a match with me and him, and he was doing it all. I was just kind of hanging on. And it just amazed me. I love that style.
Arn, we have two more questions, then we'll wrap up. I hope you guys have enjoyed this bonus edition. I love it because we can kind of let our hair down. Well, Arn lets his down.
Hey,
I don't do anything.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Ashley Hutchins writes, the program with Reed and Simmons, Doom. Love Doom. What are your memories and thoughts about that program, working with Butch Reed and Ron Simmons as Doom?
What a team they made. boy, did they look good together, too.
Man, they could have been a WWE tag team, you know?
Oh, hell yes.
Sheesh.
I mean, Ron Simmons was, like, in his own league as far as explosiveness and power. He just was. Butch Reed was a veteran, great worker, good body, good physique. I think he played for the Kansas City Chiefs, which tells you
he was special.
And then you put two kick-ass guys like that who matched up with the Steiners or the Road Warriors or Doc and Gordy, whoever the team was that were real kick-ass, you know, baby faces, you know, Sting and Luger, whatever.
Yeah.
Those guys matched up with everybody. And with Teddy Long as their manager to add the entertainment portion, they were a hell of a package.
To me, that's a team that maybe, I don't know if you can say underrated, but probably and should have had a longer run as Doom.
Sure. Yeah. I agree. I concur.
Yeah. Kevin Groff, our final question, he says, what's Arn's opinion, and this is a fun one because I remember them clearly, the Varsity Club. Kevin Sullivan, Dr. Death, Mike Rotunda was the Syracuse guy. You had the Sooner guy and Dr. Death. Michigan with Rick Steiner was part of that group at one point, but Kevin Sullivan was the games master. What did you think of that whole Varsity Club group?
Well, you had all shooters, all legitimate, credible amateur wrestlers. But I think it was like the Dangerous Alliance. It was put together to get a bunch of other guys over versus to get them over.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. You took all those studs and put them in one group with the idea that you were just going to use them to get another group over.
The look with all of them with the slinglets, so like Rotunda would wear the Syracuse slinglet, and I thought that was just something new, felt different. I hadn't seen it before.
It was new, and it was all legit. They were all like amateur champions, national champions, what AAU champions, you know, legitimate guys. And, you know, especially Mike Rotunda, hell, he was two sports. He played football and wrestled.
Mm.
Kind of athlete does that?
Yeah, well, now he has a couple of sons that are getting it done in the ring, too. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Did you get to, and speaking of Mike Rotunda, we'll wrap up on this. He's been at WWE for a while. Did you get to interact with him a lot backstage?
Yeah, we traveled together quite a bit.
There you go.
And we would bitch, and we would vent, and we saw things pretty much the same, so we would just end up agreeing with each other.
That's cool, because he always seemed like kind of a quiet guy. Is he a quiet guy? He is,
but as soon as we got in the car and heading down one of them icy roads about 11:30 at night, both of us with our ass chapped about stupid shit that had been said to us, we could vent, and we did. We spent a lot of time venting.
Well, there you go. At least you had somebody and a guy that knew the business, you know, just like you did very well. So,
yep.
Arn, thank you so much, man, for this bonus edition for our ad-free show members. Guys, this is what it's all about. This is the stuff we try to convey to others that are not ad-free show members. You get a little bit more of that special, intimate conversation dynamic with our hosts. And, Arn, I appreciate you you doing this with us this month.
Right back at you, buddy. Thanks to all of our ad-free guys and girls. Appreciate y'all.
Love them. Hey, thank you guys for the great questions, and continue to support the Arn Show. If you're not doing so on social media, please. And take advantage of these Ask Arn opportunities, whether we do it for bonuses or for his standard shows. We need questions and fan interaction, and we want to continue to build Arn out that way. And he's got a lot of good stories, and sometimes, like today, it's just prodding a little bit, and you'll learn more about stuff like The Exorcist and him sitting in the laundry room. You never know what you're going to hear. You just got to dig. And so we've had a lot of fun. On behalf of the enforcer, Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you again next time on the next bonus episode of Arn. And I did the head raise. Sorry about that, Arn. We'll talk to you guys later. See ya.
Damn it.